Awesome. Grab a seat. Oh. Well, how good is church? Like, it's just awesome. How good, like, Mitch and Dave is just like so good, and I love it. It's just so refreshing. Like, to have. I was just thinking just then. Like, if you read the Old Testament, what used to happen was God would have this one person in like the whole of the people that heard from God, and he was like the prophet, and God spoke to the people through him. But how awesome is it that we live in the New Testament church where God is speaking to every single person if they'll be open to him, and then we can hear these incredible words from like Mitch, who this week will, I'm sure, win the Golden Bean for the best coffee in the country. And Dave, who is just an amazing guy, an amazing dad to his boys, and that God would just speak through every single person as they open their hearts to what he's saying. It's so awesome, and I love it. It's so encouraging. I just really encourage you, if you are not in a life group, to get into one, because, like, I know that, like, Mitch is in my life group, and so, like, you can get awesome stuff from people every week. You don't have to just wait until they have a time to share something at Explosion, but you can get together, you can be encouraged, you can encourage each other, you can hear from God every single week. So I really encourage you to get to be part of a life group. Amen? Yeah. All right. Well, that's the wrong message. That's all right. My book was at the wrong page. I want to talk tonight on an interesting topic. Well, I hope it's interesting. I think it's interesting. And it kind of relates to this one day offering and the stuff that's happening there. But I want to talk about apathy tonight. Ew. Apathy. You might have heard this phrase, this expression, but I've heard it many times. It says, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. Has anyone heard that before? So it's like, We would so often say, like, well, the total opposite thing to love would be hate, because, like, that seems logical. But in reality, like, I think this is a really good thought, that actually not caring is really the opposite of love, because if you hate, at least you care, yeah? And I think that one of the biggest problems that we face as a generation is apathy. It's just not caring enough about what's going on around us, or just caring about ourselves at the expense of, like, every other thing that is going on in our world, yeah? And it's crazy. And there is so much going on in our world. And so we need to be people that don't just not care about what's going on. Ben was just talking to me before the service, and he was saying how this guy in Mexico was arrested, who was, like, one of the biggest mob assassins in Mexico. And he said this guy was 12 years old, one of the most wanted assassins in Mexico, and he said that 18,000 people a year are assassinated in Mexico over the drug trade. Just like that, like, it defies belief. And to think that that's the world that we live in, and then we can just go about our day-to-day lives, is crazy. So I guess tonight I want to talk about how, like, we are called not to just be people who are apathetic, because all you're going to do is drop off the A and you're pathetic, but people who just don't, like, give a rip about what's going on in the world around them, but people who are actually moved by God to do something about the things that we see, people that have passion and heart. The dictionary describes apathy as the absence or suppression of passion, emotion, or excitement. It's this, like, total insensitivity or unfeelingness, yeah? And that's kind of, this dictionary definition of the word apathy. Another, I want to show you just quickly a clip of what I think is, like, a pop culture definition of apathy. I don't know if you'll all remember this show, but I do. So if we can just flick this on, we're going to see it in a second. It's going to come. La, yeah. La, 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 la. This is my stuff.
Got to get off. I may go pop. Excuse me. I got to be direct. If I'm wrong, please correct. You're standing on my neck. You're standing on my neck. You're standing on my neck.
Does anybody remember that show? Anyway, it's good to see that some people do. That's Daria, if you haven't seen it. And I just was reminded of it while I was thinking about apathy, because like you watch that, and I think Daria was like the definition of apathy. She just doesn't care about anything. She just doesn't care. And I think that we're at risk of living lives that just don't care. And something happens and we just kind of like, You know, that happens, yeah? Proverbs has this really awesome definition, I think, of apathy. It's in Proverbs 26, and it says this in verse 15. Sluggards bury their hands in the dish and are too lazy to bring them back to their mouths. It's like, you're so lazy that you will get your hand down to the food, but you won't actually get it back up again to eat. And you'll starve just because you can't be bothered feeding yourself. And it's crazy that we would live like that. And I think as a church and as a group of people that we're actually really good at this. And we are people that care and are passionate. And I love coming to Explosion where we are just passionate about God and about His kingdom. And it is so encouraging. So I guess tonight I just want this to be an encouraging word. Because we need to be people that live the way we're being called to live, yeah? The Bible says, and Jesus called us to be salt and light of the earth, yeah? It says it in Matthew 5, verse 13. I'm just going to quickly turn to it and read that. It says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, then how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Amen? Yeah. That is the call of God for our lives, not to be apathetic people who just don't care or who only care about ourselves, but people who are light in the world. People who are in our workplace, in our university, in our school, are people that stand up and see a difference made because we care enough for the people around us and we love God enough to do something about the stuff that we're presented with. Amen? So I guess tonight that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how we can make sure that we don't become apathetic, because I think there is a risk in our generation of just becoming people who just look at what's going on in the world and just say, it's too much. I don't care. It's like, I can't do anything about that, so why bother? Or like, I'll be okay, but like, your children might not be. Like, it's, that is there and that is prevalent and that is real, and I think it's a real risk. And I think for us, as people who follow Jesus, we need to say, well, that's not the way I'm called to live. I'm called to be salt. I'm called to be light. I'm called to bring a message to the world. I'm called to make a change in the world around me. I'm called to do things for the glory of God and not just sit back and let life happen around me, yeah? So I guess I just have a few thoughts tonight on just how we can make sure that we don't become apathetic and how we can make sure that we live lives that just do what God has called us to and keep passionate and excited and full of faith. I love that, like, I love that How Great Is That God DVD. If you haven't seen it, see Mitch and he'll give you a copy or something, or he'll lend it to you. But like, it's really good because I like just, you watch it and you get excited. And I think it's good just to get excited sometimes, just to be like blown away by what God has done for you and what God has done in the world. We can get so cynical and just be like, yeah, yeah, I've seen it. Even tonight, you could have, when Mitch got up, you could have started like, yeah, I've seen Louis Giglio's DVD, so I know this stuff, I know this stuff. But then sit there and let it into your heart, amen? Let it speak to you, let God speak to you. Let's not be people that are just kind of like, yeah, seen that, done that, been there, it's all good, yeah, I know the drill, yeah, I know what you're going to say, yeah, I know, and never do anything, yeah? We've got this one day offering tonight and this morning where we have a chance to actually do something like concrete and constructive and positive in the world around us, not just for ourselves, not just for our city, but for people in the world who we don't know, but God loves. And we have a chance to do that, amen. So I want to talk about, I guess, how we cannot be apathetic. So number one, if you don't want to be apathetic, you need to keep a soft heart. The world that around us is just becoming increasingly desensitized, yeah? Like, just all the time, we just see, like, so much violence and other rubbish, and it's just like it's nothing. I was at Coromel on Friday doing scripture, talking to some Year 7 boys, and they were talking to me about Paranormal Activity, the movie. And I was like, guys, it's your Year 7 guys, and you just are watching that stuff and thinking that that's nothing, and just letting that stuff into your heart and into your life. And it saddens me that we have young people that just are exposed to so much that it just hardens your heart and desensitizes you, yeah? And we need to be people who will fight to keep our hearts soft. If you just live life normally, then your heart will harden. It's not like a... I don't know, something that will stay soft. I should have had an illustration for that. It's not like a thing that stays soft. It's not like a loaf of bread. I'm not sure where you're going with that. I'm going to go with my one that I just... It does, but I don't know if there's any way of making it go soft again. All right, let me go with this one. It's like clay, okay? Has anybody made something with clay and it's soft when you're working with it? It's soft when you're using it, but you have to fight to keep clay soft. I don't know if anyone's done that in school maybe, and you've just like, you keep having to add water to make sure it doesn't dry out. And your heart's like that. If you just kind of let it go, then it will just dry out and it'll be useless. You need to keep it soft. You need to keep it ready, yeah? Amen? I was thinking about God's heart for us and for people and how soft it is. And we read about the miracles of Jesus like Dave shared, and they all just came from this heart of just compassion and this heart of love, yeah? In Matthew 20, see if I can... I'm there, somewhere. Sorry. I marked the wrong... Oh, here we go. Found it. Sorry. Matthew 20, verse 29 says this. Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho. So this is the city. There's a large crowd followed them. These two blind men were sitting by the road. And when they heard that Jesus was coming by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." It says the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and he called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Like, we've got this world where we can so easily be like, stop bothering Jesus. Like, we're trying to be at church. Don't interrupt me. I'm doing my journaling. Don't talk to me now. You know, we do that stuff where we're just like, our hearts get hard and we think that somehow what Jesus has done for us is just for us. And Jesus says, no, my heart is soft for people. And when someone in need cries out, he says that Jesus had compassion on them and he did something about their need, yeah? And that's the heart that we need to have, yeah? To stop apathy in your heart, you need to keep it soft. Once it's hard, then it's too late. Once it's hard, it's just like nothing matters. You just don't care. You can see all sorts of stuff and it just kind of washes past because your heart isn't soft. Proverbs 4 says this. It says, above all else, in verse 23, above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Sometimes I think like, I used to read that and think, well, I got to make sure I protect myself from everything that's happening. But it really felt like maybe it's actually saying, like, what is my heart good at? My heart can feel. My heart can be moved. My heart can break. So I want to guard that. I never want to have a life where my heart will never break, where I'll see need, where I'll see something and just be unmoved by it. I want a heart that's soft. And the Bible says that you need to guard that because everything you do will flow out of it. And if you fill your heart and if you harden your heart with all sorts of stuff, then that's what's going to flow out. But if you keep your heart soft and you keep your heart pointed at God, then that's what will flow out. So I guess this is my first point is if you want to fight apathy, if you don't want to be apathetic, then you need to keep a soft heart and you need to fight for your soft heart. I really believe that. I think I find often that it's so easy just to go through the motions and realize that you're just getting hard. And I just really feel stirred to say, look, fight for your soft heart. Fight for it. Amen? So that's number one, keep a soft heart. Second thing I think that we need to do if we want to be not be apathetic is that we need to be aware. Don't just like live for your own needs and your own concerns, because if you do that, you're just going to miss all this stuff that's going on. We need to be aware of the needs around us. So crucial. The other week, this is a bit of a, funny story. Now, maybe not funny at the time so much. I was driving, and I think it was like, we were doing all that Purpose 2011 stuff, and if you don't know, the print and the design, the production side of that was quite stressful. And so I was driving just down to Woolies from here, and I was trying to figure out like how are we doing and what's going on, and I was really distracted. Does anybody be distracted while they're driving? I drove straight through a red light. Just straight through. It wasn't like orange. It wasn't like turning red. I just didn't see it. And I was halfway through the intersection and was like, that's a red light. And I just freaked out. I went to Woolies. I think I sent Rachel a message. Just like, I just ran a red light. I was freaking out. But I guess I was just thinking about it and thinking, how dangerous is it to be unaware of what's going on around you? You don't see the red lights and you just drive straight through. And how dangerous is that, yeah? That's right. I'm very fortunate. At least I didn't hit anything. It's only by the grace of God. Like, I had no idea. Let's not be blind to what's going on around us, yeah? Whether that's out of just ignorance or if it's a deliberate choice to just kind of not look. I don't think that when we get to heaven at the end of our lives that I didn't know is going to be an excuse. I'm pretty sure that if you go to God and he says, what about that and that and that, you say, I just didn't know. I'm pretty sure that's not going to like hold weight or cut the mustard with God, because he's going to say, well, you should have known because it was right in front of you. You were aware, really, but you were kind of blinding yourself to it, yeah? Let's not do that, amen? Proverbs 29 says, yep, in verse 7, the righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. So it's like good people care about the needs of the poor. Good people care about what is going on around them, but the wicked don't. The wicked don't even care, have no such concern, are just apathetic to what's going on, just aren't even aware of it. And we can live lives with just kind of unaware of what's going on around us, and we can live lives where the needs of ourself are the biggest needs we can see, yeah? But as long as we live where my needs are the biggest need, then we'll be limited and we won't be effective and we won't be light, we won't be salt. If your light can only kind of light up your little bit, you're not helping anybody else, yeah? It's like before the iPhone 4 came out, the iPhone didn't have a flash. I don't know if anybody else is with me on this. And so when it was dark, you had to just like turn on your screen and it was pretty lame. But then they put a flash on the thing and it actually creates quite a considerable amount of light. Like enough maybe for a few people to see what's going on, yeah? So we can live these lives where we just are like turning on our little screen and that's all we see is just our own need, our own concern. But when we get more light on it, we can be aware of the stuff that's really going on around us and we can do something about it. Amen. So to stop apathy, you need to keep a soft heart. To stop apathy, you need to be aware of what's going on around you. And then thirdly, you need to take action. Once you see stuff, you've got a responsibility to do something about it. In Luke 10, there's this story that Jesus tells. It's a parable. And it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. You would have heard it before. Basically, it says this expert in the law, this religious guy, comes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, what do I need to do to have eternal life?" Jesus says, "Well, what's written in the law?" Because this guy's an expert. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." He's got it right, yeah? Jesus says, "You've answered correctly. Do this and you live." But he wanted to justify himself. This is the expert in the law. And how often do we do this? I know I do. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So Jesus tells him this story in reply. He says, there was this man going from Jerusalem to Jericho down this road, and he fell into the hands of robbers. He was mugged. It says they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So we've got these people who are religious people, these people who are like good people, and they see the need around them and they walk on the other side. It says, but then a Samaritan who to the Jewish people were like nobody. It says, but a Samaritan sees this guy and takes pity on him. He goes to him, he bandages his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, puts the man down on his own donkey and takes him to an inn and took care of him. Then he gives the innkeeper some money and says, "Do whatever this guy needs, and if it costs you more, then I'll pay you more." And then Jesus asked this expert, "Which of these people do you think was a neighbor to the man?" And he says, "Well, it's the one who had mercy." And Jesus says, "Go and do likewise." What a simple command. They're like, we need to be people who see the needs around us and do something about it. That's really simple. Like, it's a challenging message, but it's a clear one. Let's not be Christians in name only, or Christians that like the Pharaoh, like this. He says, like, it was a priest, it was a Levite, like these religious people. Let's not be Christians who will be like, "Hallelujah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I went to church on Sunday," and then just kind of walk on the other side of the road to the need that's around us this week. But be like, open your eyes, be aware, and do something. Do something about it. Maybe this is a harsh thing, but don't claim your Christianity. Don't tell the people around you that you're a Christian if you're not prepared to do something about it. Because it just gives us a bad name. In the end, like, if we all say, "Yeah, I love God. Yeah, I'm about His purpose," and then we don't care for the needs of the people around us, then we're going to have this world that are lost, and look at Christianity and think, "Well, that didn't work for me." And I think that's worse than people just not hearing about it. Is hearing in a way that puts them off. Like, let's not be people who do that. Yeah. I read this quote the other day, and it was by this guy called Martin Niemöller, and I'm pretty sure I've pronounced his name wrong, but he was a German Christian in the Second World War. He says this, he said, "First they," like talking about the Nazis, "came for the communists, but I'm not a communist, so I did nothing. Then they came for the socialists and the trade unionists, but I was neither, so I didn't speak out. Then they came for the Jews, but I was not a Jew, so I didn't speak. And when they came for me, there was no one left to speak for me." Let's not be people who just get kind of comfortable in our seats and apathetic. People who just go, "Well, that's not happening to me. It doesn't affect me, so I'm not going to do anything about it." But let's be like salt and light. Let's be people who are really prepared to take the call that Jesus has given us, that God has put in our lives, and do something about it. Yeah, that wouldn't just be like, "Yeah, I go to church and I do that and it's great and I like it, but then week to week it has no impact." But Let's be people that just actually care about what's going on, that have a soft heart to the needs around us, that don't close our eyes to what's going on, and that do something about the stuff that we see. Like, I'm not saying that we can do everything about everything, but do something about something. Like, it's better than doing nothing. So let's be people that do that, amen. And I guess, like, later, like at the end of the message, the end of the service, we'll do a one day offering, and I reckon this is a great chance just to do something about something, and to say, well, I'm not just gonna like say that I'm a Christian, but I'm gonna put that into some action, yeah. And I don't think that giving in an offering is like the epitome of Christian service, but it's something. So I guess that's all I wanted to share tonight, and I'm just gonna pray. God, I just thank you for your incredible love for us, for your heart for us, Lord, that no matter what we do, no matter what we've done, no matter what's happened in our life, that you love us and that you forgive us and that your heart is soft towards us. God, I thank you that your heart is not hard towards me. Your heart is open for me. Lord, that even though you can breathe the entire universe out, you can create stars that are bigger than I can comprehend, God, you still care for me. Lord, that Jesus was there when the universe was created, but gave it all up for me. Lord, I just thank you that's the God we serve, and we give you all glory, Lord. God, I pray that you would help us to be people who don't just go about our lives, but people who really are stirred by the needs around us. People who don't just hear stories and horrific things and just let it slide by as another news item, God, but people who really have passion, who really have like a hunger for you, Lord, who really have a desire to do what you've called them to do. And Lord, I pray for every person here tonight, Lord, that you would just be in our lives, that you would just be speaking to us, that you would be moving in our hearts. And Lord, that this week, you would challenge us to do something about a need that we see. God, whether it's big or whether it's little, that you would challenge us to be people that would be generous with our lives, God, with our time, with our money, with whatever it is, but that we would be able to meet a need this week and do something because we see it and we care. So God, I pray for that opportunity this week for all of us, that we would accept that challenge, God. Before we close, I want to give you a chance to know God if you don't. If you don't have a relationship with Him, then I want to give you that opportunity tonight. The reality is that God created the entire universe, and that's a huge deal. And that we broke relationship with Him when God always wanted relationship with us. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have a relationship with God again, so that we could be forgiven. Jesus died on the cross for you. And so tonight, if you don't have a relationship with God, maybe you've never thought about that before, but something's stirring in your heart. Or maybe you would have called yourself a Christian, but now you feel just far away from God. Then I want to pray with you tonight. So maybe just raise your hand while everybody's just in an attitude of prayer. Awesome. If that's you, and we'll just pray together tonight. Thanks. That's good. Awesome. Thank you. God, I just thank you for every hand that was just put up there, and every heart and every life that represents, Lord. I just thank you for your forgiveness, your grace, your mercy, Lord. I pray that you would just come into our lives. Lord, we want to give up ourselves to you, Lord. We want to ask for your forgiveness, and we thank you that you give it freely. And God, we want to live for you. Amen. If everyone just stand with me, we'll just pray this prayer, and then we're going to do our one day offering. So it is, you know it. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I'll follow you. Amen. If you pray.